Good afternoon. Welcome to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
And we're here to entertain, inform, and inspire you.
That's our motto, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I think that's a lot of radio shows' motto.
But we're special.
What you're saying is we're not clever.
No, we're not that clever, because I thought that up, and then you look online at other radio shows, and it's like there must be a million of them with that exact same tagline. But we got to come up with a better, more.
We've got to think of a good adjective.
Yeah. Not right now, though. We will, though. We'll think of something very cool to describe.
Desalling.
I don't even know how to go there with that.
And we're
desalling,
moving on.
Yeah. Speaking of desalling, cable is... Cable.
Cable desalling.
Hey, you got me completely... You got me completely... Well,
he's verklempt.
Okay. Caleb Desalling is with us, regional rep for Lord Abbott, and we just found out it's not Lord and Lady Abbott's company.
That's correct.
Yep. It was Mr. Lord and Mr. Abbott that came together. And Caleb, we will spend a little bit of time figuring out what Lord Abbott does and what you do with Lord Abbott, because it's a really fine old company.
Sure.
After that, Jimi Hendrix is with us. Yes, I know. Not that Jimi Hendrix, the other Jimi Hendrix, the CEO of Lightpost Digital. He's got solutions for your marketing online to local businesses. Some amazing, really cool things. You'll want to stay tuned for that part of the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. Caleb is here, Desalling. Caleb Desalling. I like that name. Now that I got it down, I can't stop saying it.
It's pretty easy. Make it sound easy.
It is, yes. So, Caleb, tell us what you do at Lord Abbott.
Sure. So I am a regional representative, or oftentimes called a wholesaler, working with financial advisors across the West Coast, but most notably in California, where I spend a large majority of my time.
But you don't live out here.
I don't.
You live
correct.
In the city, right?
I live in New York City.
New York City.
Yeah, in the Midtown area. So it's,
do you go to Broadway plays very often?
I don't.
Oh, my God. I want to go see that Come From Away. Have you seen that play?
I have not.
It's about Gander, Newfoundland?
Yeah, no, I have not.
You don't know anything about it, do you?
Nope.
No, okay.
Wholesaling's a young man's game, isn't it? You're
wait a minute. I was talking about Broadway.
And he was saying he doesn't spend a lot of time in New York. I'm trying to explain why.
Oh, is that why? Okay.
My time spent is on the subway to and from the office and in my... shoebox of an apartment. So that's where I spend a lot of my
time.
So
you actually have one of those like shoebox apartments in the city in New York City.
Yeah.
The classic like cliche.
That's it. If I put my arm on one wall and I reach out to the other side, add 2 feet, I'm in the back of my closet.
Can you hear your neighbors?
Yeah, I can hear. I've got roommates. I can hear them talk, and we sometimes talk through the wall, so it's a good time. But I'm paying a mortgage and an arm and a leg to live there.
So the shows, the movies you see about New York and those little tiny apartments, that's
it. I'm living
real.
It.
You're living
I'm
it.
Living
the,
it. I'm here.
You're living the dream. Now, you're a young guy. I mean, yes. you can't be that far out of school, right? I mean... How long have you been out of school?
So I've been with Lord Abbott for 4 years now, and I came from school.
So you went right from school to Lord Abbott.
To Lord Abbott, yep.
Wow. I want to go back to that moment in just a second, but before we do that, you're young, but Lord Abbott has been around since, what,
1929.
29.
Mm-hmm.
So what attracts a young college grad to a stodgy old 1929 company?
Well, that's
it certainly can't be like it doesn't sound all that like sexy and cool. And yeah, the company I work for started in 1929.
Yeah, we're an extremely relevant company today, which is one of the big draws. I know though we've been around since 1929, I think we're building more and more momentum today than we were in the early part of the founding of the firm. So we're excited on all the momentum we've been gathering, but it's really the culture, the investments, and I think the people that really brought me on board, and they've kept me there. They've done a good job keeping me happy. So.
And Lord Abbott is an investment company. I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to go back to the recruiting effort. Did they recruit you on campus, or did you follow up with them separately?
Not on campus directly. It was more so recruited through an employee at the time, who had reached out to me and said, what do you think about the opportunity? So I got a chance to learn more about the opportunity, go visit the headquarters, which is in Jersey City, New Jersey, so just across the pond from Wall Street. And then I spent about a day in the office interviewing with several people, got to meet other colleagues of mine in the same role, and It's been history ever since.
Was there one single moment in time where it hit you that Lord Abbott's where you want to go? Because that's a big deal right out of college, right? I mean, that's your first big-time job. It's got to have, that had to have some impact on you and some relevance to your world. So was there a moment in time, or did it happen gradually, kind of, I want to say, not biologically, what's the word?
Is there a progression to it?
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of both. I think after the initial round of interviews, I was drenched under my suit and sweat, and I walked out of the building, and we stare at, so we're across the Hudson River looking at One World Trade.
Oh, wow.
So you walk out.
That's got to be momentous in itself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you catch the breeze, you look at the new the One World Trade off to the left or to the right, you see the Statue of Liberty, and I said, wow, this is where I want to spend you know, my career and start the foundation to what hopefully will be a fruitful career at Lord Abbott, and it has been. So
So Lord Abbott is a company that's been around since 1929. You know a little bit about the history, I'm guessing, of the company. Did it start out as a financial services company, as a mutual fund type company?
Yeah, so Andrew Lord and Leon Abbott set up shop just after the Depression there.
And so it wasn't Lord and Lady Abbott?
It was not. It was never Lord and Lady Abbott, no.
But that would have made a cool story, right?
Yeah, it would have been, but unfortunately it wasn't.
So it's two separate people, Mr. Lord and Mr. Abbott.
Yep.
It was probably a short conversation whose name would come first, though. Lord Abbott just sounds so much better than that.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, if you spell it back. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they set up shop in 1929, and the affiliated fund, which a lot of people sort of knew us for in the early years, sort of led the growth of the organization. And since then, we've built out a robust lineup of other credit portfolios, other equity income portfolios, and on the taxable side and tax-free side. So we've built out the lineup, and now we've seen, at that time, obviously, we've grown to $151 billion in assets across all of those capabilities.
That's $151 billion with
billion.
A B.
Yes, 151 billion.
Where does that put you in the world of investment management companies? Are you one of the biggest?
Yes, yeah, so we're a top 20 asset manager. I think we rank, and don't quote me on this, I think we rank 18 or 19.
Well, you just told the whole world. Do you mean don't quote me?
18 or 19, but we're a top 20 player. So.
Yeah, in the top 20.
Yeah.
The job that you do, you live in the city, in Manhattan, but you cover California.
Yep.
That's your territory.
Yep.
So when you wake up in the morning, it's a jet ride to get to work.
Well, it's not every day. When I wake up in California, I wake up in California. But
So you're here. I'm guessing most of your work days are in California.
Yeah. So the way it's structured is I spend 1 to 2 weeks a month out somewhere in the West Coast, mostly in California, and then I do go back to New York and spend some time at the home office, sort of recouping and speaking with clients over the phone. So it's a little bit of both. But I do sort of jet coast to coast.
We'll come back to that. Caleb, say your last name again.
It's Desalling.
Desalling. I love that. I just got to get it. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Want a podcast of the show? Of course you do. Go to www.ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Welcome back to ESPN 1700. We are broadcasting from the ESET studios. But you already know that because ESET's just such a cool company. Do we get extra for doing that?
I don't think so. Oh. I think that's an obligation.
Oh, it is. It's what we do because we're here.
Yep.
Yeah, the ESET studios. That's how come we have studios, because ESET does this. Okay, where do I go from there? Okay, let's get back to our guest. Caleb Desalling is with us, regional rep for Lord Abbott. Up next, we're going to talk with Jimi Hendrix, a different Jimi Hendrix of Lightpost Digital. You're going to want to hear this if you've ever had any interest in learning how to market to local businesses. He's the guy you want to hear tell all about how you can do that with some really cool tools they have.
And I am hoping he'd sing a little bit of Hey Joe, or maybe Voodoo Child. We'll see.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
These are songs by Jimmy.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Yeah, all right. Okay, well, I was raised listening to gospel music, and if it wasn't about Jesus, we couldn't hear it, so I didn't get to hear Jimi Hendrix.
No, but to the acid rockers of the 60s and 70s, I think that was gospel too.
Yeah. So. That probably was.
Good point.
Caleb, thanks for being here today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Lord Abbett's one of the oldest companies around in the financial services, and you represent them in California, but you live in New York, so that's got to be an interesting world for you.
Yep.
To travel back and forth. You spend most of your time not with the end user, so to speak, of Lord Abbett's funds, but with the advisors that recommend Lord Abbett to their customers, correct?
That's correct, yep.
So how many advisors do you work with in your network on a annual basis? How many different advisors might you be in touch with on a one-to-one basis where you learn something about what's happening with them?
Sure. So I cover an overwhelming 14,000 financial advisors, but I work closely with probably close to 2,000 of those, you know, some more so than not, but about 2,000 of those do active business with Lord Abbett.
So my guess is when you're boots on the ground, when you're mm-hmm. the guy out there pounding the pavement and you're talking with all these advisors, my guess is you see some kinds of trends from time to time. You know, like everybody's talking about XYZ at this point in time, or everybody's worried about this or worried about that. Do you see any trends right now that are like in your face that just makes so much sense that everybody's talking about it? Like maybe the market's really high right now, sure. And are people concerned about big corrections or downturns in the market? What is your feel for all the 2,000 people you speak with?
Yeah, I mean, there are a ton of concerns that are communicated through the financial advisor of the end client. I think one that's sort of more overwhelming than not, or that I see in my conversations, tend to be around the overwhelming majority of baby boomers retiring every single year. And I think the statistic of 75 million baby boomers retiring every single year and their need for stable, reliable income continues to increase, and that income stream needs to grow from their nest egg over time. And so concurrently, you see we're at historic lows for interest rates. And so at a time where there's not yield to be found and people need it more than ever, that's sort of the big concerns that I get with a lot of my conversations with financial advisors.
Now, does Lord Abbett have an emphasis on the funds? I know some fund managers, some families are kind of known for their, let's say, value funds. Some are kind of known for their income funds. What if anything, does Lord Abbett have as a reputation in the industry? Where's its focus?
Yeah, so we've got investment capabilities that sort of span the capital markets. You see us play in the equity markets, both domestic and globally. We have fixed income portfolios, both high quality and leveraged credit. And then we've got municipal capabilities across the credit spectrum. Where folks, I think, you know, sort of categorize us as income generation specialists, or where can I find income, be it on the equity side or in taxable fixed income for my clients. And that's sort of where we've done a lot of the business over the course of the last several years.
I want to get back to that. Caleb DeSalling is with us, rep for Lord Abbett, covers the California area, but lives back east in the city, New York. Do you ever get a chance to actually meet the money managers, the people that are making the decisions on the billions of dollars Lord Abbett manages?
Yes, all the time. I think that's one of the unique things about Lord Abbett. We've got close to 800 employees that are housed predominantly in 90 Hudson Street in Jersey City, and of those, all of the partners and the investment managers are there. So it's not rare to be in the cafeteria grabbing a bite to eat, and you're bumping shoulders with, you know, Rob Lee or Steve Rocco, who runs the portfolios.
They're running a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. And they're normal people.
Seriously, what I was going to ask you. So do they walk with their feet on the ground, or are they stepping high? Can you relate to them when you talk to them?
Yeah.
Do they sound like us?
They do. Like us. They look like us. They eat food. they put their pants on one leg at a time. Like
what distinguishes somebody that can manage $1 billion in a fund from somebody who can't? If they're normal people like us, mm-hmm. wow, they've got to have something.
Well, they've got a big team. I think that's one of the things that distinguishes Lord Abbett is we've got a team approach to pretty much all of the portfolios. So rather than have this star manager mentality where one person's calling the shots, they're backed by a research team.
And you're going to lose that person to a $100 million bonus to go next door anyway, right, if they end up being a star?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big risk. But it's one of those things where, and you know, we don't wish that upon the manager. But if they were to leave, the portfolio should be able to be run in a relatively smooth manner. So the team approach really allows them to get The investment experience we want for the clients and the way we think about the portfolios too, I think is unique from a risk management standpoint.
Let's talk about income. You said that that is one of the areas of focus for Lord Abbott. As far as income is concerned, right now, it's a difficult road for people that are trying to accumulate using income, or mm-hmm. maybe now they're in their 50s and 60s and their portfolios are more balanced with income and growth.
Yep.
And they're just not getting, I mean, just on cash, you're talking fractions of a point, basis points almost on some things. What is Lord Abbott doing in the income area to give a little bit of encouragement to the people out there seeking some additional yield?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of portfolios that we talk about day to day, but I think if you look at some of the statistics around cash on the sidelines, there's nearly $14 trillion of cash on the sidelines. 2.6 trillion of that.
14 trillion?
14 trillion.
Of cash.
Of cash on the sidelines. And 2.6 trillion is in money markets, which are, you know, yielding nothing or close to it. So the solutions at Lord Abbott that we talk a lot about tend to be around how can I generate some income, get clients compelled with an idea, and that's really around the short duration portfolio and the ultra short portfolio. Which I know we had talked about a little bit previously.
So you have two portfolios that kind of are in the realm of a money market. I mean, they're not money market funds. So I'm guessing that their share prices do change a little bit on a daily basis.
Sure.
Unlike money market, which they try to keep stable at a buck, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I just want to make that clear. These are investments, and they aren't insured or FDIC insured by any means. But the goal of the portfolio is principal preservation and income generation. So if we can find a way to protect the nest egg and generate some income off of it with a proven portfolio.
Caleb, we'll talk more about that when we get back. Caleb.
DeSalling.
Thank you. I was coming out of my mouth. DeSalling. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
And you're listening to Biz Talk. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. You're listening to us on ESPN 1700, but did you know you can watch us on Facebook too? Visit our Biz Talk radio page, share your comments, ask your questions, and of course, we always appreciate your likes and shares. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
I'm Bob Ryan. Does it sound like, when we do that, does it sound like we're pandering to people, please like us?
Isn't that what we're doing?
We are.
Oh, is that what we're doing? So we really are doing that, right? Who would have thought you'd be on the radio asking people to like you?
We're giving them options.
Is that
you
what
can watch. You don't have to like it. It'd be nice, but you can watch it. Watch us on
Facebook.
Well,
if they're going to take the time to go to our page, they daggone better well click the like button.
That's true.
Please.
Okay, was that too harsh?
No, that's fair.
Caleb DeSalling is with us, regional rep for Lord Abbott. Caleb, thanks for coming in.
Sure.
We were talking about income and the different funds that you've got. Now, the money market account is kind of the default for people that want to keep cash liquid and don't want any fluctuation. But we're getting, like, what, less than a quarter of a point, I think,
yeah.
On a lot of money market accounts. It's just not even keeping pace with inflation. So Lord Abbott's come up with two alternatives for people to take a look at for the short-term type cash monies. Now, these two different funds that you have that are in the short-term range, they're not money market accounts, and they're not insured, so they are investments.
Sure.
But they're designed to try to keep the principal somewhat stable, correct?
Exactly, yeah. And that's the goal of the portfolio. I think one of the statistics I often hear from financial advisors is cash is one of the safest ways to lose money. If you think about the implications of inflation and fees on your accounts and things like that. So we knew we had to provide an avenue for investors to generate more income in this yield-starved environment. And these two portfolios are really designed to do that.
So what are the, do you know what strategies they're using to increase the yield and still try to keep it stable? Is there a, are they doing like a multi-country type strategy? Are they over different periods of time, different kinds of bonds? What, help me with kind of what the makeup of all that is.
Yeah, so they're both domestic-oriented fixed income strategies. The short-duration portfolio, if we isolate that for just a second, is going to rotate around the different sectors of short-term bonds to find where income can be found. So whether that's commercial mortgage-backed, whether that's, you know, traditional corporates, whether that's ABS, There are different avenues where, you know, investors are getting compensated to own those bonds, and our team is looking for the areas where they can find that.
Now, is this a group of people that gets excited when they find an extra tenth of a point someplace?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is the kind of thing that gets them excited.
They found an extra tenth of a point for the customer, right?
Exactly.
It's
a big deal. Yeah. And this portfolio, we always say it's a plain vanilla, boring portfolio. But in this environment, boring is beautiful. And I think that's why investors have flocked to something like this to generate additional income. But you're right. It's the little things like that that get them excited, where they can find a basis point here, a couple basis points there. And
who would have thought some people live their lives going after a hundredth of a point for their customers,
these
right?
These are normal people.
They call them quants, don't they?
Yeah.
The people who sit behind
the
desk.
They call them what?
Quants.
Quants.
Right?
They quantify everything.
Yeah, yeah. They do. Yeah. Then they're the geniuses behind the funds. Now, does this change the risk profile? Are you guys on the same line with other people who have short duration and ultra shorts, and you just think you've found a way to have that same low risk but get a slightly higher return? Or are you guys taking on a little more risk to do just that?
Yeah, so it depends on the portfolio you're looking at. I think a lot of managers can classify, you know, what a short-term fixed income instrument might look like. If you see a risk to reward profile, and if you look at some of the MPT statistics, they call it, which measures the additional return you're getting per unit of risk, I think you'd see Lord Abbett has actually got favorable statistics in that range. So, you know, it is, like I said, it is an investment. You are taking some risk, but in our estimation, it's a calculated risk to do so.
When you're working with advisors out there and you're hearing them tell the story back to you,
mm-hmm.
do you get a sense that most of the advisors we have out there kind of get what's going on? Or does it feel like we have a lot of people that are telling the stories they hear over and over again because they like the stories? I mean, do you think advisors really get the economy in our world today?
I think so. I mean, that's their job, and that's why they bring on folks like us who represent the investments, because oftentimes I'll hear from financial advisors like, hey, I don't have the time to necessarily go deep with every single portfolio. It's my job to understand the client, understand their needs, build out a financial plan, have a view on the economy, and then from the individual investments, you know, I'd like to hear from the company and what they think on the capital markets and what they're doing within the portfolio. So,
does the company have a stance today on the markets and where we're heading? Does Lord Abbett publish any targets for the market, or do they? How do they work the information they give the people that they serve?
Yeah, so we give sort of a non-biased view of what we see in the capital markets. I don't think any investor or investment manager is good at predicting the future. And we always say our crystal ball is just as foggy as the next. So we don't have a hard stance on the Dow at this, the S&P at this, interest rates are going to land here at this time. And those views aren't reflected in our portfolios as well. So we always, you know, try to think about our portfolios from a win by not losing approach, as opposed to
win by not losing.
Yeah, as opposed to trying to hit a home run every single time we make an investment in a certain part of the market.
My guess is companies like Lord Abbett don't survive almost 100 years in a market like the United States securities markets without having a strategy that protects the downside.
Exactly. Yep. And that's why you see a lot of investors flock to us as the capital markets get rocky. I think sometimes an investment that's quote unquote sexy or an investment that's new to market that doesn't have the legs that Lord Abbett does can look attractive and can gain assets pretty quickly. But very shortly, advisors and clients realize the investment experience you've had in a Lord Abbett product is one that you don't apologize for. And
well, that's the thing on Wall Street. My favorite stories are the real boring ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ones that have no sizzle. They just are all like totally boring steak, right?
Exactly. If you don't see us in the headlines, it's good news for us, right?
So that is gutting. So is there a place for Lord Abbett funds in everybody's portfolio? I mean, it seems like you have so many different kinds of funds that there's almost a piece somewhere in everybody's portfolio that is part of Lord Abbett, right?
I think so.
Or hopefully,
yeah,
anyway, right?
In my opinion, every investor should have a piece of Lord Abbett, right? Whether it's growth or whether it's income, whether it's you know, tax sensitivity needs, whether you want exposure internationally to emerging markets, we've got portfolios. It's just a matter of how much and how it fits into, you know, the broader financial plan as laid out by the advisor.
Is Lord Abbett experiencing net inflows or net outflows now?
Net inflows.
Which is, I think, it's counterintuitive in the market right now with most of the funds, correct?
Yeah, we're in rare company. I think if you look, we were one of five managers in 2016 to be in positive net flows.
Which means you have more money coming in than going out.
Exactly.
What do you attribute that to?
The capabilities. I think at this point, investors are tired of the investment experience that takes them for a roller coaster ride.
I thought you were going to say the wholesaler in California.
Yeah. A little bit of me.
The good looks of this.
Yeah, I think the more time I spend in New York away from the client, the better it pans out. But yeah, I think it's the investment experience that the clients have faced. It's the right products with the right track record. And the market environment is sort of favorable for us.
Caleb Desaling, thank you so much. Regional rep for Lord Abbott. Don't forget to check them out there at lordabbott.com, right?
Yep.
That's the website,
that
lordabbott.com. Caleb, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you folks go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jimi Hendrix. Yes, we are. Seriously. No kidding. Really.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. I'd like to take a moment and thank our engineer, Jeff Bilodeau, our music by Derek Audette, our wonderful interns, Sarah, Andrew, Leah, Deidre, and Chrissy, and our director of marketing, Katie Jansen. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. You need to put our voice of reason on there.
Oh, and our voice of reason.
Yes. He's leaving
Ken
us today.
Huebner.
Yeah. We're mad at him.
He's out of town. He'll be going out of town for a week. He'll be back.
He'll be back. We have such a great show due to a lot of people that work really, really hard. Not me, but everybody else.
Yeah, all of us around.
I just have fun. Jimi Hendrix is with us. He is the founder, co-founder, and CEO of Lightpost Digital. Jimmy, welcome to Biz Talk.
Welcome, Bob.
Glad you could be here.
Appreciate it.
You have one of those unforgettable names.
Yeah, I thank my mom for that.
Yeah.
People always think I was named after Jimi Hendrix, but my dad was James Hendrix Jr., and Jimmy just kind of stuck.
Yeah. Well, so you're a third?
Second.
Wait.
Yeah, James Hendrix. My dad's the real Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, you're okay. So you're the junior.
Junior.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I can think of a lot worse people to have to be associated with.
No, in high school, super right up the popularity scale.
Seriously,
you're the cool kid.
Not like
works
Michael
like
Bolton,
that, huh?
Yeah.
What?
I'm thinking about Office Space.
I like Michael Bolton.
I like Moulton.
Way cooler. Way cooler than Michael Bolton.
Jimi Hendrix is a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Tell us about Lightpost Digital and what you folks do there.
So Lightpost Digital's mission is to provide affordable and transparent marketing to small businesses. We did a lot of research around agencies that provide great service, and most agencies are not available to small businesses. Because
talk about ad agencies or PR agencies.
Yeah, there's
agencies
great digital agencies in San
Diego,
like Red Door, but they have minimums of $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month. And most small businesses have a marketing budget of $1,000 to $3,000 a month. And a lot of the companies that...
And that comes out of the founder's pocket.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's like, it's either I pay my kids to go to school.
Right.
Or I pay my marketing budget.
Right.
And there's a huge shift in local marketing where businesses aren't doing print. They're not doing TV.
Seriously.
And they didn't have someone that could represent them with agency quality service because they have interns doing it or their cousin doing it. And so we built a model where we could provide high quality service to small businesses at an affordable rate, where our average business pays us around $500 a month to manage things like Google AdWords, their website, Facebook marketing, and do it in a very effective and experienced way.
So that almost sounds too good to be true, because just the three things you named off, like Google AdWords and what else was it you said? The
Facebook
and
websites.
Okay, just any one of those is almost overwhelming to me.
Yep.
I mean, we are doing social media now, but I really have no clue what all the social media is doing for us right now. But I know it's a lot of work.
Yep.
And I know that doing the kinds of things you're talking about for a company for $500 a month seems almost impossible to do. How did you come up with a model that allowed you to do all that for such a reasonable price?
Well, a couple of things. One, we believe social media is really good for companies like ESPN or big brands. But for the local restaurant, they want phone calls. For the local personal injury attorney, they just want someone to call and say, can you help me with my case? So we specifically focus on phone calls and customers generating customers for the business. And one caveat on that, the $500 does not include the marketing budget they pay Google or they pay Facebook. So we'll have a lawyer come to us and say, I want to spend $2,000 on Google AdWords. Our fees are $500, and they pay Google an extra $2,000 separate. But then all we think about is tracking that from 100% ROI. We can tell them how much
ROI means return on investment.
Okay. And cost per call. So okay. we can tell a business what we think the cost for a phone call to come in is. And if they say, I close one out of three to become a client, we can tell them the exact cost it'll take, exact cost it will be to get a customer.
Seriously?
Yep. And that's what's great about online.
So you can help a local business use the social media and the online stuff to actually get the phone to ring.
Exactly.
Well, that seems so counterintuitive to what most of the social media is it's all kind of geared towards buying online or some kind of image advertising that you're seeing, some kind of customer loyalty programs, affiliate programs.
Yep.
But actually getting customers to call the local business using things like Facebook and Google?
Well, to clarify on that, social media is content, posting, articles. We don't do any social media.
So how do you get the phone to ring then?
So we do Google Ads. So if someone goes
So you're distinguishing Google Ads from social media.
Totally.
That's where I'm confused then.
Well, then we do social ads. Okay. So on Facebook has posting and they have ads.
Okay.
So if someone goes to Google and says, I want to order a pizza online, we'll show one of our clients' ads. They'll click to an order online. Then if they go on Facebook, they may be looking at their friend's feed, but they'll see an ad that says sponsored, and it say, did you just visit our website? Would you like to order a pizza? Here's $5 off. We noticed you didn't order. And we can put that ad in front of the same person that was on that pizza place 5 minutes ago on Facebook. But it's not a post. It's a paid ad to track people to get them to come back to the
client.
So
does that ad follow that person around?
For a set period.
Is that done with
cookies?
Is that what cookies are when you go on and you clear the cache or whatever it is on your browser? Cookies follow you around. So every time I click like I like a pair of shoes, and then I see that same pair of shoes or that brand on my Facebook, and then I see it on every other social media. So is that what you guys
are
using?
Cookie is a tracking. It's called remarketing. If you Google remarketing, you'll find plenty on YouTube. It's just like when you go to Amazon, you look at a pair of shoes, then you go onto Facebook, you see the same set of Nike shoes, or you go to the local blog and you see a Nike shoes. It's remarketing.
Yeah, Google cruise lines once, because I Googled a cruise line just to see what cruises cost, and now everything I do, it's got a cruise picture in it somewhere, right?
Until you buy, or actually probably after you buy. They'll still show you.
But what you do, though, is you actually know how to use the media, and I said social media incorrectly, but what do you call the media you're using?
Social ads.
Social ads. So you know how to use social ads to get people to call the local businesses.
Correct. And what we really believe in is only working with the business on the right medium. Like lawyers, we don't put them on Facebook. They're only going on Google. Whereas a restaurant, where someone may be more impulsive at 10 o'clock in the morning when you're getting hungry at work, we'll put a lunch special ad in front of that person on Facebook, but we may not put that same business on Google. So it's really about our philosophy is finding the right source of marketing for each business. Because we found that we offer six services, and most businesses only need two or three. A great website that works on mobile devices, and then the right medium to make the phone ring.
If somebody sees an ad on Facebook for a restaurant and then they pop in for lunch, how do you track? How do you possibly know that that person came in because of the ads that you're running?
If they just walk in for lunch, we can't 100% determine how many people come in. But specifically, we try to drive people to what we call a conversion event. So for pizza, it would be an order online button. We work here with Woodstock's Pizza, which a lot of people know, multi-locations, and we drive a lot of people to their order online button. And we know, like, they came to work with us, and we've been able to get them conversions, which means someone orders online, for less than $4. So that means their marketing budget is around 12 to 13%, which is really profitable for them to get someone to order a pizza online.
So $4 is what their cost is, but then they have that customer again and again and again and again if they deliver a decent product.
Yep, and with an average order in the mid-30s.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Do it all day long.
Jimmy Hendrix is with us, co-founder and CEO of Lightpost Digital. You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
We are Believing is Seeing Radio, and we don't want you to go anywhere. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Get a podcast of today's show and our previous shows. Now we're talking. Go to www.espn1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Welcome back to the ESPN 1700 studios, broadcasting from
sunny San Diego.
Well, ESET Studios.
Oh, the ESET Studios. Yeah.
Of course, I said it twice. I got to get better at doing that. You know, we're learning. We're this daily show is like it's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be perfect next week, I think.
Don't quote us on
No,
it's
okay.
Good to have goals.
Yes. Jimi Hendrix is with us. He is the co-founder and CEO. Yeah, you can't forget that name, right?
No.
The CEO and the co-founder of Lightpost Digital. They're a company that helps local businesses reach customers and actually get a response. I mean, actually something good happens as a result of that. I think a lot of people are very concerned about spending money on stuff they don't understand and then not getting the results.
Yep.
Does that happen often in your industry? Because it seems like there's a lot of people out there that promise things, but then they don't deliver the phone calls that you do.
Yep. So a couple of things. When we developed our model, we don't outsource any marketing. So if someone wants to call our company, they're going to get an account manager within a couple minutes, or if someone's on the phone, they'll respond to them. So each of our clients has someone they can trust. The second thing is we also have local digital directors, which are our salespeople, which we should talk about in a minute, our model. But they go out and meet with the businesses. So we're not a call center. We don't have people right out of school calling the businesses just trying to take their money. We have true experienced digital reps who sit down with businesses and develop a plan for them. And then they're also accountable. Because even though we service clients in Chicago and New York, the rep that worked with them is in that market. So if they have a problem, they can go to them. That establishes a lot of trust. But third, we only work with businesses usually on a pilot program initially. So let's say a garage door company here in San Diego with Garage Door Medics. They're a big company. When we first started working with them, we knew they had a large marketing budget. But we said, let's start with a third of what you can spend. Let's make sure we get the optimization and the conversion targets hit, and so that these calls are profitable for you, then we'll spend more money.
So that sounds so back-asswards from what a lot of people would do when they go in. If they see a budget of 100 grand a year, they're going to go for 120 grand, right? They want to soak up the whole budget, but you at least did that one in stages so you could check it out and see how it goes.
Almost all of our clients, we actually only work on a 6-month contract, then it's month to month after that. Because our philosophy is if we can get it working in six months, you'll work with us for years. And that allows a lot of flexibility for the business and prevents them from being locked into some 1-year, 2-year, 3-year contract that other companies do.
I want to go back to your Salesforce in just a second.
Sure.
That you were talking about, because I think that is a fascinating part of your model. But how long, or I don't even know whether you have these statistics, how long does it take like an average client to see some returns on the investment that they make with you?
We tell clients that we're going to start hitting their goals within 2 months, and our internal goal is 1 month, because we need some flexibility there. When we turn Google AdWords on, like we did it for ourselves, we wanted to start getting clients who needed website leads. We turned it on Wednesday. On Monday of this week, we had our first lead. On Tuesday, we had our second lead. It's only been 5 days, because we know what we're doing. And so when we bring on a lawyer who says, I'm a personal injury lawyer and I need people to call about cases, we'll probably get a first phone call in the first 2 weeks. And then we'll get a couple more the next week. And then we keep optimizing the marketing. We figure out the messaging, the way their page works, the way everything. And the second and third month, they're really hitting
their
goals.
How long have you been doing this at Lightpost Digital?
We started in 2015, late 2015.
So you've got a little bit of experience under your belt now. I mean,
yeah.
this is not a baby brand new venture. You're past the napkin business plan stage, right?
Oh, over 300% and over 120 active clients as of today.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
My question about that is this. Have you ever, I'm assuming when you go in and meet with a client, you have some kind of idea in your own head about whether this is going to work for them or not, right?
Yep.
Or maybe there's a product that you particularly like, or one that you thought, ugh, I just don't know how this is going to work. My question is, have you ever been surprised either dramatically on the upside or downside, like something you didn't think was going to work and then it just blows the socks off of everybody with the numbers, or something that you were sure was going to work and just didn't come back in the way you thought?
Early on, I'd probably say on the downside, our first product actually was social media in 2016. And we went to a lot of businesses who were like, $300 a month, I'd love for you to run my social media. Constantly getting, hey, it's not working. I can't prove if someone came into my business.
Right.
I'm glad I got a bunch of clicks, but who cares? And that's why we abandoned social media and said, we want to go to what we call block and tackle marketing. If I can't give you a black or white report that tells you if it works, we won't offer it at Lightpost. And so that's why we transitioned to social ads, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, and Google AdWords. Because each one of those, I can track how many people went to your website, what they did, and if they called you.
Can I ask you a stupid question?
Sure.
Could you explain Google AdWords?
Very simple.
Because I see them all over the place, and I know I've read what they are, but just tell me again.
It's very simple. It's you pay cost per click, meaning you, and it's a bidding system. So a cost for a pizza place may be $1, and a cost for a personal injury lawyer may be $60. Because of the ability to get a customer.
So what are they? What is the customer clicking on? An ad that the personal injury attorney put in?
So when you go to Google, and you, in the first field, you type in, you know, personal injury lawyer.
Right.
The first four things you get are going to be ads. It's going to say AD in green.
Right, right.
Those are all the sponsored content.
Yeah.
And then there's what's called a three-pack, which are just organic listings, which are maps. You know, the map that
couldn't have been oblivious to all this.
Yep. And then underneath that are what's the old SEO, which is organic, meaning your website gets you there.
So there's people like you sitting somewhere behind a desk organizing my entire life and what I'm going to buy and when I'm going to buy it, and I just don't know that yet.
Thousands of agencies doing it. Yeah.
So that must give you some kind of like really amazing power to have this much control over what people do.
Fulfillment more than power, because I love when one of our clients comes to us and says, you changed our business. You know, a guy who's a criminal attorney downtown and he's been getting one lead a month from his buddies. And all of a sudden, for $1,000, we've given him 8 cases in the month, and it makes his practice.
So when this person contacts
you...
Wait,
hang on.
Go ahead.
How did you get criminals to call?
Well, it's actually one of the easiest ones.
So I'm just really curious, what inspiration did you have for criminals to call the criminal attorney?
Well,
I mean,
didn't you know that nowadays they don't get the one phone call, they get the one Google?
Is that what
so when
is?
They get when they get locked up, you get one Google.
The criminal doesn't call. The criminal gets arrested. They call the bail bondsman. Mom calls.
The mom calls. Okay.
You get to the mom.
That's what you do. So you're going to get your kid out of jail, right?
I like the idea of the one Google search. It's probably more productive than one phone call anyway.
Yep.
Sorry, I interrupted you. I just had to know how you got the criminals to call, though. I mean, if you can do that, you can probably get anybody to call, right?
Exactly.
I was curious, so when somebody contacts you and you're looking to work with them, do they get a dedicated account manager that's their go-to person for anything that they want to run by and talking about, you know, how things are progressing and what's working?
I guess this opens up the discussion about how you run your sales group, correct?
Yep, so there's two parts to that. Right. So our digital director is who is really the consultant that works with the business. They'll sit down with you, let's say it's Bob's Pizza Place, and they'll run an audit on your business. They'll check your website and make sure it works on mobile phones and mobile devices. They'll make sure your SEO is done properly, and then they'll make sure your marketing's set up.
Oh, wait, before you came on the air, did you check our website? Because it doesn't work on mobile.
Oh, gosh.
No, it doesn't. We need help.
I know we do. Jimmy Hendricks is with us, CEO of Lightpost Digital. You want to check them out at lightpostdigital.com, correct? You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't go anywhere, folks. We're going to be right back for one more amazing segment. Stay with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Here's one way we're going to entertain you. Tomorrow in studio guest is actor Deo Ade. We look forward to hearing his great stories. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
I'm Bob Ryan. By the way, that actor Adeo goes by D.
Oh, he's, D. Yeah. Okay, D.
He's been on a lot of shows like NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles, and Alias, and it just goes on and on and on, but his voice is to die for.
He has a radio voice.
Oh, my gosh. Wait until you hear him. He's got one of those voices that everybody's just going to swoon, even the guys. Swoon. Wow. Where did that word come from?
1940s.
Have you heard that word in years? Swoon? Who says swoon?
You're so retro, Bob.
I know. Okay, well, I guess maybe we won't swoon, but we'll do something like that.
I might swoon.
You might? Mm-hmm. Cool. Jimmy Hendricks is with us, CEO of Lightpost Digital and co-founder. Jimmy, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
We're just getting ready to get into your Salesforce and how your model works with your salespeople and the relationships you have with customers down the line, so to speak.
Yeah, we were just talking. So when a client comes to us, they work with a digital director, which we'll talk about the model and who we're looking to hire. But then once the director signs them up for a package or a plan, which anywhere from building their website, doing their SEO, to running their Google AdWords, or helping build reviews on sites like Yelp and Google, they'll work with a dedicated account manager. All our account managers are in San Diego, and all our fulfillment's in San Diego. We don't outsource anything, so the guy who's running Google AdWords is sitting next to the SEO guy, like Carlo here, who writes all the copy, and our website team. So they know that they can pick up the phone from 8:30 to 4:30 Pacific and call someone, and someone will talk to them and work with them on a plan.
The model that you have applies or is it works for what kind and size of businesses? In other words, who's your target market for your services?
Typically 1 to 10 locations, 1 to 10 million, in, or not 1 to 10 million, anywhere from $200,000 in revenue to 10 million, established businesses, lawyers, chiropractors, dentists.
A lot of professionals.
Retails, too. Anything that's business to consumer. Local and typically has a physical address or works locally.
So business to consumer as opposed to business to business.
We rarely do any business to business. We don't.
Just out of curiosity, why did you choose the business to consumer model over business to business model? Or does what you do just work better for business?
It's more because consumers go on Google and Facebook and look for businesses. And businesses typically are sold to through outbound.
Good point.
So it's not... There's not enough volume for us to be effective. It doesn't mean that we won't build a great website for a B2B. Like, we're working with a fleet management company out of Phoenix called Xenotech. We're just doing their website because that's all we can do for them. And that's one of our philosophies is we only do what the client needs. We won't try to sell them things that we already know won't work.
Because most businesses, if I understand this right, already know what businesses need their product or services and they reach out.
Yep.
As opposed to consumers. Nobody knows that Sally woke up this morning and decides she needs a new mattress today. And nobody knows that but Sally, let's say, right? So she goes online and she Googles it where most businesses don't just wake up and realize they need a mattress.
Yep. Or it's a long-term sales cycle, and that's we can't track the conversion of the ROI to that. So we want stuff that we know that we can win.
So when somebody hires you, you guys do an audit, you said, and you'll take a look at their website, and it sounds like you've got designers who will help with that. Is that an additional charge if you do determine, hey, your website can be a lot better and we can work with you, but that's not part of this fixed cost, meaning running the ads on Google and Facebook?
We believe in standard pricing. Like all of our websites, unless they need a writer or have it a lot of pages, are $3,500. We'll build them a website. We work off templates out of the box. They can pay up front. They can break it up over 12 months. Like, we really believe, we know that that's the amount of very affordable and profitable for the business and a fair price. And then they own it. There's a lot of companies that will, $200 a month, they'll build you a website, but the client doesn't own their website.
Yeah, the service company owns it, right?
They handcuff them.
Wow. Are you also thinking if you're trying to drive people to that website, if it's not good, your numbers aren't going to look as good either,
exactly.
Right? Because they're not going to, somebody might look at it and say, that doesn't look good at all. I'm not going to buy from this company.
That's when we build them a website. We go to them and say, here's what we recommend. And if marketing won't work, we'll build them a website. If their website's great, we just do marketing.
Lightpost Digital is in studio with us. Their CEO and co-founder, Jimmy Hendrix, and that is his real name, right?
Yep.
I like that name. It's easy to remember, yep. Right? Just out of curiosity, I don't want to get too...
The digital director model?
Just real quick, one word on the name Lightpost, real quick. And we're running out of time, but I just want to get that in there real quick.
Oh, Lightpost Digital, we really wanted something that's local, and we wanted to light up a path so someone could have a digital marketing plan for
great.
Small businesses.
And now let's go back to the digital...
Directors.
Directors,
so the
yes.
Unique thing about us is we have directors who are in market. We're not a call center. We're actually more like a franchise. But it's a licensee model. We look for experienced people who've been in digital sales, either working in an agency or working in a local media company, that want to go independent. They love selling, they love working with clients, but they don't want to fulfill. So at Lightpost Digital, we hire people that can run their own agency underneath the Lightpost Digital brand in any market in the U.S. We have people in New York, we have people in Chicago, we have three in San Diego, we're expanding into Irvine. But if anyone has been in digital marketing, and it realizes the pain of running operations and sales and loves the sales side, we're a good fit. Well, we pay them 50% of setup fees and 25% of commission infinity as long as they're active with us, and they can really make good income and build their own business and not have to worry about showing up to work or taking a vacation.
Are you finding the digital marketers using your strategy, meaning placing ads online, and that's how they're finding you and learning about your company?
We're just using Craigslist, Facebook, the same type of tools we recommend for our clients, and we get people every day who say, I love this model, I can't believe it, I've tried to build my own agency, it's such a pain, I love to go work with clients, develop marketing plans, and if I could pass them off to you and you fulfill, you would be a dream come true.
So this is, you're in San Diego right now.
Correct.
Are you scaling this outside of the San Diego area?
We have three directors in San Diego, but one in New York and one in Chicago already. We have two we're hiring in Irvine, that are starting in August and September. And we're also, we have one in Phoenix who's just getting ramped up because we're venture-backed by a company called Canal Partners, a VC fund out of Phoenix.
Canal, yeah.
So Canal backed us, and with, we have one director there, and we'll build up Phoenix next after we get Southern California. But we plan on having at least 30 directors in 2018 and probably 100 by 2019.
Jimmy, you're a pretty young guy. I mean, people can hear your voice and tell that you're a pretty young guy. Is this your first, like... business that you've launched, or have you done others?
It's our fourth.
This is your fourth.
We had a t-shirt company out of my apartment in North Park, which failed. it's called Collar Free. So,
wait. You're at the point now where you can speak about your failures as bragging rights.
Yep.
Yeah. Not earlier on, but now you can, right?
Yep.
So a t-shirt company that
T-shirt company where people would vote on t-shirts, submit them online, and then we'd rank them. And then we went to a software company called Artistic Hub, which we worked with Sports Illustrated Kids, where people would vote on t-shirt designs and we'd print them. That did okay, but still not much. And then our big first hit was Deal Current Network. We powered 900 daily deal sites in the U.S., about $50 million in daily deals, and we were white label platform. So Fox 5 in San Diego, NBC, they all had daily deal programs. We were the back end for that.
And daily deals would be things that the different organizations had for sale that day, right?
Just like Groupon, except it was sold by Fox or NBC or the Union Tribune.
And the way you say we makes it sound like it's the same partner through all of these, right?
Yep.
Pat
and I met selling Cutco knives in college.
You sold Cutco?
When we were 20. So.
Love Cutco.
Our Voice of Reason's daughter, I think, was doing that pretty well.
Cutco.
I don't know if she's still...
Get you through school.
We've been business partners. We've known each other since 20, been doing this for 10 years. And we developed Lightpost because we realized deals weren't good for businesses. They weren't a long-term solution. But what we do now, we believe, is you have a great website and people call your business. That's how you build a company and that's how you build your own personal brand. And that's what our mission is, to help businesses do that in an affordable way.
Lightpostdigital.com is the website. We want people to go there, correct?
Yep, correct.
Lightpostdigital.com is the website. Jimmy Hendricks is the co-founder and CEO of Lightpost. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It's been a great show. Thanks to our earlier guest, Caleb Desaling.
Desaling. I'm sorry, it's Desaling.
Yes. Regional rep for Lord Abbott. Check them out at lordabbott.com. You've been listening to Biz Talk, Believing and Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Wishing you folks a great and prosperous day. Bye-bye.